Welcome to Healing Your Families. I'm Emmalou Penrod, your family relationship coach. And here on this show, we address six areas of health for families: emotional, financial, mental, physical, social, and spiritual. And if you think about it, all of those areas of health involve relationships. It's either our relationship with other people, our relationship with our emotions, our relationship with our body or between our mind and our body, our relationship with God or our higher power. And in the case of financial well-being, it's our relationship with money. So let's start there. I want to cover four keys to nurturing your financial health. Now, in looking at your relationship with money, you might consider things like what you learned when you were growing up. What did your parents teach you? What was their relationship with money? Did they see it as a blessing or a curse? Something that was welcome and appreciated, or something that was scarce and there was never enough of it? I remember when I was growing up, I would go grocery shopping with my mother, and like most young children, I would find items I wanted that weren't on her list. And as I would show her the item, "Can we get this?" most frequently her answer was, "No, we can't afford that." And I remember looking at the price tag on the item, it was just seemed like it was just a few cents, and thinking, "Wow, we must really be poor." And I was growing up and I heard phrases like, "Money doesn't grow on trees. You got to be careful with money. You got to save money for a rainy day." I grew up thinking that maybe money was just scarce. It was something that you had to worry about, make sure there was enough. I also heard many opinions that people held about people who had money and people who didn't have money. And it seemed to me that the people who didn't have money were sometimes considered more trustworthy, more humble, more respectable somehow, as though the people who had money must have taken it from them in order to get that money. And quite often, I heard the misquote from the Bible, "Money is the root of all evil," when in actuality, it says the love of money is the root of all evil. And truly, I saw that that was the problem. When people put their relationship with money over their relationship with family members or with community members, when having money became more important than being honest. Yeah, there were problems then. I could see that greed created problems with money. But as I got older, I learned, first of all, that my mother was frugal. She was careful with money. She wanted to choose wisely how she spent it. And it paid off. I remember in her declining years, as her medical expenses were increasing, her mental faculties were not what they once were, my brother took over managing her finances, and she was needing more care. And I remember one day asking my brother, "Is it time for all of us siblings," she had eight children, "for all of us siblings to chip in and help cover mom's expenses?" And he said, "That will not be necessary. Mom made some really good investments. Financially, she's looking good. She will have more than enough to cover her expenses." So knowing using money as a tool, I learned, was an asset. Now, I did think that it would have been wiser, or I think, with my children and grandchildren, it would be better to say, "That's not a wise investment right now. That's not a wise use of the money," rather than saying, "We can't afford it." "We can't afford it" just says there's just not enough. money is scarce. So think about your relationship with money. Imagine money is a friend standing right next to you. What would that relationship be like? Is it friendly? Is it generous, mutual? Or is there lack of trust? Is there some animosity? It's interesting how we give all this emotional attachment to money. Money isn't just paper or coins or plastic cards or a number in an account. Money is a tool. It can do good. I learned this later as I grew up. I met many wealthy people who use their money to help others, to solve problems. And I learned that money can be a valuable tool. But like any tool, you need to know how to use it. So that's the first key. Understand your relationship with money. Now, the second key, if you're in a marriage, if you're sharing money with someone else, you need to understand their relationship with money. They need to understand yours. Communication is vital to a marriage. And when money becomes the elephant in the room, whose presence can be felt by everyone, but no one wants to talk about it, it damages the relationship. Contentions over money can break up a marriage or a partnership. So, this communication, many open conversations need to be held, preferably even before marriage, deciding what does money mean to you? What do you want to do with money? How do you want to use it as a tool? And understanding this and coming together on the same page. Now, unfortunately, quite often what happens in marriage is someone who really wants to save money and invest ends up marrying someone who just wants to spend it. You have a saver and a spender. How do they resolve those differences? One possibility is to come up with a plan, an allocation, saying this set amount of our income every month will go into savings or into an investment. And this part of our money can go to the spender, and you can use it how you want, no questions asked. It's like the Venn diagram. You've seen where two circles are overlapping. Well, in a marriage, that's what it is. Your two circles, your financial circles, are overlapping. You will have the expenses that maybe you both contribute to. And if there is only one income, usually the other partner is contributing by providing work that would have to be paid for if it wasn't done. So sometimes it is helpful to have where the part where the two circles overlap, and that's covering the expenses, and then have individual, just even if it's just a small amount, that the person who needs to spend can do that without causing conflict. Just this is yours to spend as you choose. You don't have to answer for me. You don't have to answer to me for it. And when it comes to a major purchase, making sure they're both on the same page, that their goals are the same of what they want the money to do for the family. This is huge. Now, one way, quite often, the problem is they find they're living paycheck to paycheck. And the problem with that is life happens, especially when you're raising a family. There are emergencies. The car will need repair. There will be appliances that break down. And you come up with the situation where you have to worry, will we run out of money before that next paycheck? You need some sort of an emergency fund. And for many families, that's a credit card. But that brings a whole second set of problems. So the third key is when you learn to live on less than your income, you give yourself a cushion. You eliminate that stress of what if something happens? Will we make it through the month? And that stress adds to the contention. It can wear down a relationship. So managing to live on less than you make eliminates that stress. It also makes it possible to put money into savings, to make investments, to have that emergency fund. And now, for the fourth key, I want to get into why a credit card is not an effective emergency fund. Albert Einstein called it the eighth wonder of the world, compound interest. This whole concept that you can earn interest on your interest. It's powerful. And it can work for you or it can work against you. Let me start by explaining how it works for you. If you invest your money in a fund that earns 12% interest, your money grows. Your money is making money. You can use the rule of 72 to find out how quickly your money will double your investment. For example, if your investment is earning 12%, 72 divided by 12 is 6. In 6 years, your money will double. If you put in $1,000, you leave it there, it earns interest. In 6 years, you'll have $2,000, and so on. If your investment only earns 6%, it will take 12 years for your money to double. Now, that's how it works for you. It works against you when you're paying interest. The saying goes, those who understand interest earn it. Those who don't pay it. If you have a credit card that charges 12% interest, and most of them, I believe, charge much more than that right now. But if you owe $1,000 on that credit card and it's charging you 12%, 72 divided by 12 is 6. In 6 years, your debt doubles. You owe 2,000. If you have a credit card with only 6% interest, then it will take 12 years for your debt to double. But that credit card means you're paying more than the amount that you took out as a loan. You're paying interest. And interest compounded, use the rule of 72 to determine how quickly your debt doubles. It's important to understand these key facts about money. When you do, when you can communicate them clearly with your partner, your spouse, then you can choose how you want, tell your money where to go. You can be in control. There can be harmony in the home when there is unity, open communication in and unity in how to manage money. Now, I'm collaborating with another Win Win Women show host, Amber Peterson. Her show is Mamas and Money. And we wrote an ebook, Discovering Your Money Mindset. And I've put the link right here and the QR code. Just click it. This ebook is free and it will get you started on that path of learning what your money mindset is. Maybe you don't have a real good relationship with money. Maybe you would like to improve it. Maybe you'd like to become better friends with money. This ebook is an excellent place to start. I highly recommend it. Don't let money become the source of contention that disrupts your family unity. Thank you for joining me today. Join me again next week at the same time. Until then, love yourself, love your family. Let's make the world a better place by strengthening families. This is Emmalou Penrod with healingyourfamilies.com.